Hello everybody, wanted to also share with you this recent talk that I did on Supply Chain Management Dojo, where I was interviewed by Dr. Murasir and we had a very interesting conversation in terms of what are the skills that supply chain professionals need in order to make it to the CEO position, what are some of the most important characteristics that make a key and top supply chain talent in today's world, as well as we discussed broader topic of leadership in supply chain, what it takes to be a good leader, some very practical examples from some of the clients and the leaders in the industry. And overall, I think it's a very potentially very useful and practical session. So we decided to also share it here on the podcast channels, and I do hope you will find it relevant. Enjoy.
The topic today is top talent in supply chain. How do you define top talent in supply chain?
Oh, look, great question. And I would say that obviously it also greatly depends on the exact role, because of course, if you're hiring for a chief procurement officer, for sure, that person needs to have the fundamentals of great procurement skill sets at the base. But if we had to go a bit broader, I would say there's a couple of common characteristics, and more or less there's four of them that I can think of that makes, in my head as a headhunter, a top talent within supply chain. I think number one, and it's kind of hygiene factor if you want, but number one is you got to have a fairly broad and deep and good understanding of your domain, right? So ideally, you should have been exposed to the different areas of supply chain, which is, in very simplistically put, I'm a headhunter, very simply put, right? It is plan, source, make, deliver, right? It's the four different elements. So ideally, you should have been exposed, or you should try to expose yourself to all. You don't need to be an expert in all. It's unlikely that you will be an expert in all, but you should understand holistically all of it, because they're all pieces of the supply chain, yeah. Right? Or what we call supply chain.
Plan, so source, I think make, that deliver. Is number... Right, agree. Yes. I'm just repeating what you said. Yes. Plan, source, make, deliver, yeah.
Plan, source, make, deliver. There's different ways in which people apply or explain supply chain. To me, that's the simplest. So that's sure. What I use. So I would say have that understanding. A very good example, if you want, I've seen this in numerous occasions. I have friends that are chief supply chain officers, and their track record at some point of their career, and obviously you become chief supply chain officer or chief operations officer after usually 20 to 30 years, right? But at some point of their careers, they were in consulting in supply chain. Now, whether that's top four, right, your McKinsey's or your whatever, your Bain's, but very much for supply chain. I'm not talking management consulting in general. Of course, it is also management consulting, but it's focused in that manufacturing supply chain operations practice. Now, being a consultant is a fast track in my mind, not fully. I mean, if you spend too much time, then you're a consultant on your life. But if you spend 2 to 5 years, I think that gives you a lot of depth and perspective into the different companies. And that helps fundamentally a lot. So exposure to the different four elements, right? As well as if you have some part of your career where you were a consultant, I think that can add a lot of value, and that makes the top talent to me. Number
that
one.
That is a very, very good tip. Actually, you all helped me to answer my question. I have one more question, but thank you for the good tip.
Number two, I would say that key and what sets people apart is international mindset. So international mindset comes with exposure to different cultures, comes with working in different environments and different countries and different continents, if you can. So what I see and what typically companies appreciate, especially if you want a global job or a regional job, you got to work across yep. different geographies, right? One.
Yeah.
And ideally, you should work in different continents and in different countries. And I would definitely, I mean, I sit in Asia, you are from Asia as well, Murasir. I think Asia is a must in today's world, because it's the growth engine of the world and is going to be for the next 20 years.
Absolutely.
And then some other, right? Whether it's Europe or US or whatever, right? I mean, it doesn't really matter. But I would say that international mindset and exposure is a must if, one, you want to look for a top talent, and two, if you want to have a global or regional job in supply chain. So that's number two. Number three, I would say, and I will talk a lot about this even later, I will say soft skills. So broad term, generic terms, I don't like it, but it does really boil down to soft skills. And I'll just flip some that are crucial in terms of being considered, perceived, and also landing good jobs and being, you know, promoted in companies and so on. So one, which unfortunately is lacking a lot of times in the supply chain practitioner's portfolio, is presentation and communication skills.
Yeah.
There is a reason why sales guys or marketing guys, or I don't want to just, how to say, I don't want to just use the usual analogies, but there is a reason why sometimes they get to the top and not the supply chain folks, right? Because the supply chain folks, pardon my French, get shit done mentality,
yeah,
right?
So yeah,
I'm not here to show off. I'm not sure, you know, I'm here to deliver your stuff. I'm here to make it happen. I'm not here to brag or to, yes, but in reality, we all know we are humans, right? So sometimes the presentation is more important than the delivery. And that presentation skills, communication skills, I see that as a crucial soft skill that you gotta have.
Yeah.
If you want to make it, if you want to consider yourself and others to consider yourself a top teller.
For sure.
Another one is networking, building networks, building connections, both external to your organization, as well as internal in the organization. There is no way you can progress your career if you don't have this ability of building great relationships. And a lot of times, and I see it, and it's frustrating for a lot of people that think, hey, but I'm the best at what I do. Yeah, so what? Because at the end of the day, it's not who's the best at what you do, it's who's the best in the eyes of the rest. And then, you know, the eyes of the rest will be highly impacted by how much they like you or not. You know, we may not like this, but this is a fact. We are human beings, right? So we are subjective. Nobody makes totally objective decisions. So that ability to network and create relationships is greatly going to impact your career, and whether it's within the same company or whether you move outside, right? Because you're also going to get, like you're mentioning before we chatted, right? You got your opportunity in the current company because your previous boss moved and then gave you this and brought you along with him, right? So this is what happened, right? It's relationships. It's a relationship business. It's a relationship world. We're human beings, relationships. And then there's a few other soft skills, and I'll come back to that. But that piece of soft skills, I see that crucial, and these two presentation skills and networking skills probably rank very, very high.
Highly. Cool.
And the fourth and last one that I would put in there is you got to have some level of exposure and track record in doing digital supply chain projects. I mean, today, in today's world, and this COVID crisis is basically only going to accelerate, and we're seeing this. I mean, everybody is scrambling, you know, you need visibility, you need data, you need information, you need a bunch of things, control towers, you name it, right? Industry 4.0, everything is about digital. So you need to have a track record in having delivered results, having had exposure, understanding what the heck it means, right? So unless you have that, how can you be a top teller, right? Because that's what all the companies sooner or later, I mean, let's say some of them are already some way ahead on that journey, some are not, but it's about digital transformation.
I mean, this is golden content. Radu, seriously, I'm actually listening to you because what did, you know, the things you have said, you know, solving, consulting is essentially solving problems in different scenarios. That's the first point you mentioned. Then you mentioned, you know, international exposure. You know, supply chain is all about, you know, long lead time. Suppliers in Southeast Asia, unless you're there, you live there. I mean, we are fortunate to born, I'm fortunate to born there, live there, and so you spend a lot of time in Singapore. It's important, right? If you just in Europe, you don't know how the things work in Asia. So that's a fantastic tip. The third one you said about the soft skills, communication, presentation, leadership skills, right? So how you see that fit into your framework, the leadership skills?
And I'll just add a little bit on a couple of points here, because as you said, I mean, I see that, and I started also, the top teller does need to have that exposure across the board, right? And you need to have that understanding. It's fundamentals. If you want to be a CFO, you got to understand finance, right? I mean, it's hygiene factor. You're not going to, you know, but that's what it is. It's hygiene. I mean, it's like manufacturing, planning, I don't know, inventory, logistics. I mean, if you don't understand it, then you're not a supply chain professional, right? Yeah. So, but that's not going to take you to become the chief operations officer or the chief supply chain officer or the chief procurement officer. So that's why I'm not usually talking so much about technical skills, because I kind of take it for granted. To your point, leadership, right? So what is leadership? So I'll go back to what I said about presentation skills, and I'll give a different twist to the presentation skills. Basically, if you are in supply chain, if you're truly a supply chain business partner, you basically need to be able to, in 5 minutes, explain very simply put to the business, whether it's the CEO, if you're the chief supply chain officer or the business unit head or whatever it is, right? Why what you want, what you're doing makes sense to him or her business. And trust me, most people cannot, for the love of whatever, do that. Because you either get them lost in details that they don't care about, right? Or, you can't make the connection like, okay, I mean, I don't care. Is it a warehouse? Is it automation? The CEO doesn't care. The CEO cares about numbers, like growth, or like how much do you save? How quickly do you do it? Is my client impacted in a good way or not, right? So presentation skills. Make sure that in 5 minutes you're able to capture your audience. And I'm just making a very practical point. You need to be to the point, succinct, data-oriented, and that makes a great, you know, supply chain business partner. That's what I call a supply chain business partner. So that's one element, and I would put that under leadership, right? Because if you can't present, you're not a leader to me. Second piece that I want to expand more. You gotta get people with you on the journey, right? So if you call yourself a leader, right, you can't be walking alone. If you're walking alone, you're just taking a walk. Right. If you're a leader, you're walking and taking a whole group of teams of, you know, organizations with you. So that piece of how do you get people together? That's part of leadership. And as far as I'm concerned, that has to do with do you have emotional intelligence, right? Because usually, all the time, actually, in today's world, it's about change management, right? You have change management and crisis management. It's kind of both, right? Because if it wasn't this COVID-19. You know, we had a volcano eruption in Philippines before that. We had the Iran-US war or not. Crisis is the new normal, right? So
yeah,
you as a leader need to be able to inspire your troops, say, hey, okay, guys, look, it's another crisis. It's another, we need to adapt. We need to change. We need to move forward. So you need to have that ability to be a change catalyst and bring people on the journey. And I would say that the key to be able to do that is to keep things simple. I've seen numerous, so I was part of basically, I was in the office of one of my clients and they had on the wall, so they were making this digital change, supply chain transformation, you name it, all the buzzwords thrown into one. And they had 5 different posters on the walls, right? And I swear you not, they were like written in 10, you know, the Calibri 10, and they were like literally like this big. And I'm like, who the heck reads that? I mean, like, guys, you need to have one sentence. That's it. And you have 5 posters with one sentence of maximum 10 words on it. And maybe then people will remember it.
Yeah.
Maybe then.
Right? Maybe
then. I mean, you gotta keep it simple. So I gave the feedback to the chief supply chain officer. Look, if this is the way you want to do this, I bet you your people have no idea what you're doing, right? So you need to simplify. And for that, I would actually give a very specific example. And we had a podcast that is just pure gold. It's 40 years of experience distilled into one. It's the biggest transformation in the history of logistics. Ken Allen, who is the board member of DHL, he took DHL Express when DHL Express was losing 2 billion euros per year, and he transformed it, and DHL Express now makes 2 billion euros as profit per year. And he talks a little bit about that, but one of the principles that he used is radical simplicity. Making things so simple that from the top to the courier, they could get it. So example, right? One of the principles was we need to be insanely customer focused, insanely customer focused. It drives a message, right? You need to be crazy about your customers. That's one. Two, just think of this. He had a song. So he would always use songs so that in whatever town hall and whatever, you know, there would be a song, the theme, let's make our customer happy. Now, I forget the song, but he actually sang it during the podcast, which made a point, the same point with to keep your customers happy. But if you think about it, it's about simplicity because a song forces you to be simple, right? And there's only one point and everybody understands music, right?
I think, Radu, you mentioned about the constant learning, radical simplicity, you know, insanely customer focus. Emotional intelligence, change management, and again, they are all golden management points, right? And it's been there, and I think I'll use the word, how you use the radical simplicity. And what my personal experience is, radical simplicity drives engagement. When people understand the impact of their jobs or the function into the end results, they feel more engaged, and your life as a supply chain leader becomes super easy. So 110% agree with your point. Then I want to flip the angle here, right? And because you work with a lot of companies and you have a consulting arm at the same time, but what I want to see, before actually I ask this question, I see this. The HR people and the leader, C-level people, they're very much buzzed up about, oh, let's launch, the leadership development program, less people is our top talent, yeah, etc. But I have seen very few of them is actually take out time in developing people, right? Because supply chain, as unfortunate as a function, is very much numbers driven, customer service driven, you know. And as I said to people, there's in supply chain, I have two kind of days: bad day, and a very bad day, right? There is no third day, because in supply chain, something's wrong somewhere. A supplier is late, somebody's off sick, something is broken, you don't have a capacity, customer is shouting, it's happening. So if I'm having a bad day, I'm happy, because it's not a very bad day. The issue is, and I have a sympathy for the supply chain leaders, because it's very difficult for them naturally to find time to develop people. So that's the first part. The second part I see is, so in terms of these kind of leaders who wants to do it, but do not have time, or let's call it natural inclination of development people. So what is your advice, taking that my personal experience into account, and your, of course, I want to hear it, how the companies develop a program or a culture to develop supply chain talent?
Look, $1 million question. And I would say that the fundamental issue is, and the root cause is, you should not have people in leadership positions that are not good with people. I think the fundamentals of it and the crux of it is that you should be able to identify that the best procurement person sometimes is not your chief, most of the times is not your chief procurement officer. The best sales guy is not your best sales manager. Because in order to deal with people, you need to have people skills, you need to have emotional intelligence, you need to like people. And some people, not that they don't like people, but they're just naturally introverts, or that is not their strength. So then they're put in this leadership position, and you can put it up down their throats. So yeah, you need to develop your team, but it just doesn't gel with the way they are. And then you should not push them. You should not, I mean, put them in an expert position. There's expert jobs that you can do. There's nothing wrong. I mean, whilst I advocate for changing careers and all of that, some people become just very good at something, right? A brilliant data scientist, a brilliant rocket scientist. I don't know. Yeah, you name it, right? So what I'm saying is that companies also need to be making sure that when they promote and when they elevate, because this happens a lot, this mistake happens to me, is a mistake, right? You get your best person doing something, and then you put them as leaders in a team, but they're not necessarily the best people person. So then you have a problem, right? Because you're trying to teach a pig to sing. Pardon my expression. I mean, it might be a tough analogy, right? But you don't need to do some of these things, right? Of course, certain things can be leadership. I don't believe leaders are born. I think you can learn a lot of things.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, it has to come somewhat with your, you know, with what you want to do and what you, so I think that's a very important point that we need to take into account. Then I think that companies can develop, and there's a lot of things that can be done and that have been done, which link to being mentors. Or the thing that companies can do to develop on the positive side, and I've seen that, is encourage a spirit of mentorship and coaching and development. So I've actually seen companies that from day one, people are allocated mentors that can guide them through, you know, how can you do things better, and how can you fasten your process of learning. I'll give you an example. I've seen people, basically one of our clients has imposed it as an overall policy in the company, and it works extremely well. It builds relationships between people. It also fastens the learning process. So I think it's a simple thing to do. It's not, you know, it doesn't cost a lot of money. Now, another thing that companies do quite well is management traineeships, right? So at the beginning of their careers, they get people on a management trainee that, yep, in 2 years they get to experience 3 months or 6 months rotations in different functions.
Yeah.
Then you see companies. So one of my contacts is with the same company. I won't mention the name. I don't want to advertise them necessarily, but it's a great company. It's an FMCG player, and he's been there for 24 years. And in 24 years, he had 18 jobs. So, and he moved across 3 continents. So this spirit of constantly giving people opportunities to develop, to change, to take on new opportunities, I think it's an incredible way of companies to develop their talent. Now, of course, you can't do that if you're a 50 people SME. This works for MNCs. But I would say that a lot of companies can do more around that. Yeah. And then you have another good example is, and this one I will quote him. So the chief supply chain officer of Henkel, which is Dirk, we also, yeah, had him on the podcast. So he was saying that every 2 years or 3 years, he goes back to school. And Henkel actually sponsors him to go back to school, right? So whether it is a 2 weeks program or a 4 weeks program, and of course you're not going to go for 6 months, you cannot afford that at that level, but it's still, you know, it can be 2 to 4 weeks of intensive leadership programs or development or supply chain intensive courses and so on. So I would say that good companies also take that time to constantly upskill and develop their, whether you're in the leadership position, of course, it's not only leaders, right? Because you need to build your pipeline mid-level, you can do trainings and so on. So it's fairly, I don't think anything is rocket science, but it starts with the fact that you need to have people at the top of your mind. If you don't believe that, you know, people are your assets, then you're never gonna, behave like this. You saw the, it's quite famous, the writing that was circulating all over LinkedIn, right, with the, you know, with the CFO asking the CEO, you know, why are you paying for training for these people? What if they leave and we lose the money? And then the CEO asking, yeah, but what if, you know, what if they stay and they do a bad job? Yeah. So it's kind of, you need to have the mindset as an organization. And then a lot of things, whether you have money or not, because now with COVID, maybe you want to cut costs for training, but mentoring is free, right? I mean, you do it within the organization.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, so that is one great point. So mentoring is free. People skills, who know, understand about people, so that's fine. I actually have a blog, and it's my personal experience as well. So there's three kind of players I see, right? So there's a performance. I know there's as a HR guy, you know, there's a performance metrics and all that. That's fine. But for me, is to the people who don't want to come to work, they do their job, they go home, right? There is a high performance, which is like 10% people, and there's like 10% the bell-shaped curve don't want to perform. So you can manage your poor performance. There's a process in place. I don't want to waste time on that. But then there's a 90% of people who just want to come and do a good job. She may be the mother of the kids. She wants stability, or that's fine, right? But then I feel, so I have two questions there. The first is this. If somebody is stable, doing a good job, and doesn't want to become a manager or a leader, right? But then over the period of time, the senior leader perceived that person as a non-asset or non-ambitious. And for me, I think that's a wrong way to look at it, right? Because that just person doesn't want to do it. He or she wants to come, do a good job, and go. On the other hand, there is ambitious, especially young folks come from a graduate, good universities, work hard in their education. Of course, they in mindset, they want to come, they are intelligent, and they want to challenge things, and they want to grow pretty fast, right? And they are perceived as over-ambitious people, right? And I think the balance is not right, and I'm just sharing my own experience here. So what would be your advice to those leaders to manage these kind of groups?
I don't know if I have, you know, I don't know if there is a silver bullet for this, if there is a one answer fits all. I guess... In some ways, but this I'll just talk from my own own perception. I mean, I guess it's common sense that certain or fairly normal that different stages of our lives we have different needs and wants, right? So of course, when you're 20 to 30 year olds, maybe you want something. When you're 30 to 40, you want something else, and so on, right? So I guess it's back to the initial point, right? A good leader would care about what do his team members care about, right? Mm-hmm. So he would know, okay, this person wants more work-life balance because he or she has two kids and he wants to go home, or, you know, this person is young and ambitious and wants to grow and wants to progress, and then, you know, we will give them more projects. So there's no necessarily a judgment attached to it, right?
Yeah,
there's a place for everybody. Sure. But this, I'm talking about the good leaders. That's why good leaders are rare. And of course, it's going to become at some point subjective, right? Because if crisis hits, you need to reduce your headcount.
Yeah.
Now, look, we can be all romantic and all, but at that point, the leader will be like, okay, look, I mean, and then it's going to boil down to sort of, I mean, usually it's going to boil down to pragmatic, right? So who can do more work with less money? Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry to be cruel, but
no, that's true.
It is, it's like, you know, it's going to be boiling down to some of those parameters. So I don't know if I have a suggestion. I mean, probably the only one is, like, you know, make sure you understand your team, understand where you're coming from. Most of the times they're going to have different desires and wants, and it's not like one is better than others. It's just different because we're people. And then make sure that you try to arrange for it.
Sure, sure. No, Radu, it's been fantastic. You know, it's almost inspirational. I've learned a lot from the conversation with you as well. So thank you for joining the show, and hopefully I'll have you one more time.
My pleasure. Thanks right. for having Good. Me, Brasil.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. If you liked what you heard, be sure to go to www.elcotglobal.com and click the podcast button for all the show notes of the interview. Also, subscribe to our mailing list to get our latest updates first. If you're listening through a streaming platform like iTunes, Spotify, or Stitcher, we would appreciate a kind review. 5-star works best to keep us going and our production team happy. And of course, share it with your friends. I'm most active on LinkedIn, so do feel free to follow me. And if you have any suggestions on what to do and who to invite next, don't hesitate to drop me a note. And if you're looking to hire top executives in supply chain or transform your business, of course, contact us as well to find out how we can help.